You please open your Bible to Deuteronomy 28. I'm going to read one passage there before we read the text. I'm going to read from Deuteronomy 28, verse 36 to 42. The Lord will bring you down, bring you and the king whom you set over you to the nation which neither you nor your fathers have known. And there you shall serve other gods, wood and stone. And you shall become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations where the Lord will drive you. You shall carry much seed out to the field, but gather little in, for the locust shall consume it. You shall plant vineyards and tend them, but you shall neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worms shall eat them. You shall have olive trees throughout all your territory, but you shall not anoint yourself with the oil, for your olives shall drop off. You shall beget sons and daughters, but they shall not be yours, for they shall go into captivity. Locusts shall consume all your trees and the produce of your land. Let's go to our text, Lamentations chapter 1. The text says, we're going to focus on the 14 and to 16, which is in the middle of chapter 1, but we are going to read from verse 1. How lonely sits the city that was full of people! How like a widow is she, who was great among the nations, the princess among the provinces, has become a slave. She weeps bitterly in the night, her tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she has none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her, they have become her enemies. Judah has gone into captivity under affliction and hard servitude. She dwells among the nations. She finds no rest. All her persecutors overtake her in dire strait. The road to Zion mourn because no one comes to the set feast. All her gates are desolate. Her priests sigh. Her virgins are afflicted, and she is in bitterness. Her adversaries have become the master, her enemies prosper, for the Lord has afflicted her because of the multitude of her transgressions. Her children have gone into captivity before the enemy. And from the daughter of Zion, all her splendor has departed. Her princes have become like deer that find no pasture, that flee without strength before the pursuer. In the days of her affliction and roaming, Jerusalem remembers all her pleasant things that she had in the days of old, when her people fell into the hand of the enemy with no one to help her. The adversaries saw her and mocked at her downfall. Jerusalem has sinned gravely. Therefore she has become vile. All who honored her despise her because they have seen her nakedness. Yes, she sighs and turns away. Her uncleanness is in her skirts. She did not consider her destiny. Therefore, her collapse was awesome. She had no comforter. O Lord, behold my affliction, for the enemy is exalted. The adversary has spread his hand over all her pleasant things, for she has seen the nations enter her sanctuary, those whom you commanded not to enter your assembly. All her people sigh, they seek bread, they have given their valuables for food to restore life. See, O Lord, and consider, for I am scorned. Is it nothing to you, all you who pass by? Behold and see if there is any sorrow like my sorrow, which has been brought on me, which the Lord has inflicted in the days, in the day of her fear, his fierce anger. From above he has sent fire into my bones, and it overpowered them. He has spread a net for my feet and turned me back. He has made me desolate and faint all the day. The yoke of my transgression was bound. They were woven together by his hands and thrust upon my neck. He made my strength fail. The Lord delivered me into the hands of those whom I am not able to withstand. The Lord has trampled underfoot all my mighty men. In my midst, he has called an assembly against me to crush my young men. The Lord trampled as in a winepress the virgin daughter of Judah. For these things I weep. My eye overflows with water, because my comforter, who should restore my life, is far from me. My children are desolate because the enemy prevailed. So far, reading of the Holy Word of God. Beloved congregation of our Savior, Jesus Christ. There was a king in the city. He was passing by on the wall one day, and he heard a woman cried out to him, saying, "Help, my king, O Lord." The king said, "What is it that troubles you?" She answered, pointing at another woman, saying, "This woman said to me, 'Give me your son, give your son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow.' So we boiled my son and ate him. And I said to her on the next day, 'Give your son that we may eat him.' But she had hidden her son." The king was troubled so much. His town was surrounded by enemy, Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria. And there was a great famine in Samaria. And this shows how devastating war is. War brings destruction, famine, disease, poverty. And the text this morning also talks about the horrible nature of war. Both the northern kingdom, Israel, and the southern kingdom, Judah, they experienced many wars. God sent foreign invaders to instruct his people or discipline his people who committed idolatry. Lamentation 4:10 says, "The hands of the compassionate women have cooked their own children. They became a food for them." So what happened in this Samaria, we can assume that it also happened in Judah as well. Lamentations is known to be written by the prophet Jeremiah. The prophet Jeremiah is known as a weeping prophet. We think the prophets are harsh people who prophesied judgment with angry voices. They spoke with anger, but Jeremiah was preaching with tears and with begging and pleading. Jerusalem fell in 586 BC. Jerusalem was destroyed by a nation called Babylon. Prophet Jeremiah preached so that people may repent. He also preached about warnings along with the judgment. But nobody listened. Not a single one. And therefore, Judah finally fell before Babylon. You can read about that in 2 Kings chapter 24 and 25. And also this was recorded in Jeremiah 39. Well, the northern kingdom, Israel, was already destroyed by a nation called Assyria because they were not faithful to God. Assyria was the world-leading power at the time. It's a capital city. It was Nineveh, and then children, you know what Nineveh is. When you hear the word Nineveh, you think of Jonah and the fish. And Assyria conquered Samaria, and they came to Jerusalem to conquer Judah as well. But God delivered Jerusalem. You can read about the story of King Hezekiah in 2 Kings 19. Assyria went back and they collapsed, and their empire was conquered by a new nation called Babylon. Around 600 BC, there was two superpowers. There was Babylon, which was on the north side of Jerusalem, Judah, and there was Egypt in the south side. And then, as you can see, Judah was stuck right between those two superpower nations. And Judah had to decide who they want to stick with. Jeremiah said, "Seek the Lord. Call me and I will answer and show you great and mighty things." But the king did not listen to the prophet. He made a treaty with Egyptians. This made Babylon very angry. Babylon came. They poured their wrath to Judah because they went after Egyptians. And the decision of King Zedekiah was not really good one. We know that from 2 Kings 25. And when Babylonian army broke the city, the king Zedekiah and his men fled, and the army of Chaldeans pursued the king Zedekiah, and they captured the king in the plains of Jericho, and they brought him to the king of Babylon. They killed the sons of Zedekiah before his presence. They also killed all the nobles in Judah, which means they killed all the king's relatives. And then they took out Zedekiah's two eyes, bound him in chains, took him to Babylon. So the last thing that he saw, the last thing that he remembered seeing, was his whole family being killed before his eyes. And that's not everything that Babylonians did. The Babylonian captain of the guard came to Jerusalem, and he burned all the houses and the house of the Lord and the king's house. And he broke down all the walls of Jerusalem as well. And this is the context of this book, Lamentations. Lamentations was written as a funeral song for the city Jerusalem. So we're going to see the theme and points, which is the sorrow over the fall of Jerusalem. We're going to see the first point, the cause of this calamity. Second point, the one who took our calamity. The lamentation starts with the exclamation, "How lonely sits the city," in verse 1. And the first word of this song is very important when it comes to understanding the mood or the tone of the whole song. And let me tell you why that is. Because in Hebrew canon, the Jews often named the book by the first word of the book. For instance, you know the first book of the Bible, Genesis. It begins with the phrase, "In the beginning." So the Jews, when they named the first book of the Bible, they took the first word, which is in Hebrew Bereshit, which means in the beginning and made it as the name of the book. So guess what the Jews named this song? It is called Eka, which literally means how. And this word how has an expression of anger, reproach, frustration. The English equivalent would be, how come? Why? How is this happening to me? Well, it's like when you witness horrible things such as 9/11. When you see those kind of things, you don't know how to respond and you say, why? How? And that's the title of the book. Well, think about it. The people of Israel witnessed their king being captured, his eyes were taken out, temple burnt, city walls collapsed. In verse 1, Jerusalem was personified as a woman. How lonely sits the city. How come? Why is this happening to us? And take a notice in the structure of the first few verses. It contrasts the past of her glorious days and the present. The city Jerusalem sits lonely. She used to be full of people. Now she's like a widow, lonely. She used to be great. She was a princess among the provinces. Now she became a slave. In verse 3, she weeps bitterly in the night because there's no one who can comfort her. But before she was not like that. She used to have many lovers. Now all her friends betrayed and became enemies. So we wonder, it talks about her glorious days. She was full of people. She had many friends, lovers. So it makes wonder who are these lovers and friends that this text is talking about. Well, the lovers and the friends refer to the nations that Jerusalem made alliances with, especially Egypt. There were some smaller nations such as Edomites, Moabites, Ammonites, and Phoenicians. The King Zedekiah became friends with all those small nations, and they conspired against the king of Babylon. So when Jerusalem fell, those nations did not really help Judah, but dealt treacherously against her. We read that in Psalm 137, which we sang in verse 7. Remember, O Lord, against the sons of Edom, the day of Jerusalem, who said, destroy it, raise it to its very foundation. So apparently the Edomites, they were so happy to see the fall of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, she put her trust in Egypt, her lover, and her friends, other nations. Now she's left alone. She has no one who can comfort her. In verse 4 says, the road to Zion mourn because no one comes to set a feast. All her gates are desolate. Her priests sigh. Her virgins are afflicted. She is in bitterness. It says there's no feast. This refers to national festivals, including religious feasts. Priests are necessary for religious rituals. And he says, priest sighs. The virgins are the ones who make the festivals cheerful by dancing and singing, but those things are no more. And the list goes on. Verse 6, her princes do not have a strength to escape the pursuers. Verse 7, there's no pleasant thing left. Verse 8, Jerusalem is in a great shame, talks about her nakedness. There's no honor. The nakedness of Jerusalem means her sins have now been exposed to all other nations. So horrible, depressing things happened to Jerusalem. Now, going back to the title of this song, we cannot help but wonder and entertain this question: how? Why? How come? The author was asking the same question over and over again. How? How did this happen in the first place? What is it that went wrong? The answer is revealed throughout the Lamentations. Verse 8, Jerusalem has sinned gravely. Verse 14, the yoke of my transgression was bound. Verse 20, see, O Lord, I am in distress. My soul is troubled. My heart is overturned within me, for I have been very rebellious. And then if you read further and study further, we see more reasons. Verse 12, the reason why Jerusalem was in great distress is because the Lord inflicted her. Verse 14, the Lord delivered me into the hands of those who I am not able to withstand. So what does that mean? Why did the Lord do that? Well, it's not because Lord find that entertaining to distress her. It's not that the Lord wanted to punish her without no cause. It is because of the multitude of her transgressions. The Lord warned many times against her idolatry. Even before the people of Israel went to the promised land, the Lord warned against their infidelity in Deuteronomy 28. We also read that passage. Verse 15 of Deuteronomy 28 says, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. And one of the curses has to do with taking people into captivity. Verse 36, the Lord will bring you and the king to the nation which neither you nor your fathers have known. In verse 41, your children shall go into captivity. Despite these warnings, despite the warning that came through Jeremiah, the Judah and the king did not listen. They've been keep doing the evil things before the Lord. The Lord sent various prophets to preach, but they didn't want to listen. And guess what? Our Lord, Jesus Christ, also mentioned something about Jerusalem and her destruction. In Matthew 23, 37, Jesus said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you are not willing. The Lord wanted his people to repent. He reached out to his people several times by sending prophets, but they killed the prophets and stoned them. And finally, God sent his son to preach repentance, and they killed the son of God as well. On the same account, Luke chapter 19 tells us, now as he drew near, talking about our Savior Jesus, he saw the city and he wept over it. Just like Jeremiah wept over Israel, Jesus also wept over Jerusalem because he knew Jerusalem was going to be destroyed soon. Now, brothers and sisters, something that we can learn from here is to notice the attitude of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Luke tells us that Jesus went and wept over the city. If you think about it, it's rather striking. Because Jerusalem deserves her punishment. Jerusalem considered the surrounding nations as their friends. Yet the surrounding nations rejoiced when Jerusalem fell. They didn't weep over Jerusalem. The Edomites took pleasure over the fall of Jerusalem. Whereas Jerusalem rejected many prophets, including Jeremiah. Later, they also rejected the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Yet both Jeremiah and Jesus wept over Jerusalem because they did truly care about her. You see, normally when you give a good advice to someone, but that person doesn't listen and gets into a big trouble, you don't really feel sorry for the person. And you say, you should have listened. People normally say something like this, see, that's what happens if you don't listen to your father or your uncle or your friends. And sometimes shame helps to learn a great lesson. But the point is, the true friends, the true father, weeps over the broken bones of his son. Of course, father is angry that his son did silly things, but in the same time, the father shares the pain with his son because he truly cares. So the fact that Jesus wept over Jerusalem reminds us the one of the passages. The Lord is slow to anger, but abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Well, he will discipline you if that is necessary, but he disciplines with love. The Lord does not take pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that he should turn from his ways and live. In congregation of our Lord, that's who Jesus is. He's compassionate God. And we need to remember that and return to him. This leads to the second point, the one who took our calamity. I said in the first point that Jerusalem is personified as a woman. The Lamentations not only talks about her, but also talks about her children. And one verse that I would like to focus in the second point is the verse 14 and 15. And especially verse 15, the Lord has trampled underfoot all my mighty men in the midst. He has called an assembly against me to crush my young men. The Lord trampled as in a winepress the virgin daughter of Judah. Well, if you talk to your father or your grandparents who experienced the war, they can tell you how devastating the war is. I know myself, because our generation experienced the three wars. Not me, but my previous generation. The horribleness of war not only has to do with the devastation of places, in this case Jerusalem, but also it has huge impact on everyone, especially young people. According to the text, the young men are killed or dragged into war. The young women are abused during the time of the war. And I would like to focus on the particular expression that portrays the horribleness of the destruction, the result of sin, in verse 15. The Lord trampled as in a winepress. Winepress, it says. It's very graphic. What is a winepress? It's a device to extract juice from crushed grapes during winemaking. You put various berries and grapes together in the device, winepress, and winepress crushes the grapes, and you see the sap coming out from the grapes. And actually, we are going to read the form of the Lord's Supper, and we see a similar expression in the form of the Lord's Supper. In the middle of the form, it says, he took upon himself for us the wrath of God under which we should have perished eternally, especially when the weight of our sin and of the wrath of God caused him to sweat drops of blood in the garden. The form is talking about the Garden of Gethsemane. In Luke chapter 22, 44, we read, "And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and then his sweat became like drops of blood falling down to the ground." Interestingly, the name of the garden, Gethsemane, means oil press. The garden was at the Mount Olives. What oil press does is the same as any kind of press, such as wine press. You put olives in there and the device crushes the olives with heavy weight, or you press the weight, and it causes the sap to come out. In this case, olive oil. So here is the point. In Lamentation 1:15 says, "The Lord trampled and crushed my young man as in a wine press." Because again, in verse 8, Jerusalem sinned. But Luke 22 says, "His sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground in Gethsemane." So this makes us think about the image that Christ was in the garden called oil press. And the Lord's Supper form masterfully explains this by saying the weight of our sin and the wrath of God caused him the drops of the blood in the garden. In other words, believers can imagine our Savior was being crushed under the weight of our sin and the wrath of God, just like the oil press or wine press crushes the fruits. And the fruits supposed to be us. In Lamentations chapter 1, the Israel deserved their punishment. But in Luke chapter 22, Jesus was punished in our place and to pay for our sin. The law condemns the people for failing the covenantal obligations. But the gospel frees us from that condemnation. That transition between Old Testament law and condemnation to the New Testament gospel was possible because Jesus, a young man at his prime age, was crushed under the weight of our sin and the wrath of our God and on behalf of us. So brothers and sisters, we are here to remember that. When we take the Lord's Supper, let us remember that. Let us not forget what Jesus said. "Do this in remembrance of me." Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Father in heaven, that we once again think about the weight of our sin and the destructive power of sin. Also, the result of the sin, which is death. That if you had not sent your Son to us to take our place, we as wretched sinners, we have no hope for eternal life. And we are about to remember the one sacrifice and the perfect obedience of Christ by taking the bread and taking the cup. That we pray that you be with us in spirit and nourish us and edify us and help us to seek our salvation outside of ourselves, that we may humble ourselves. Also remind us that we are the members of Christ, that give us heart of unity, that we take out or lay down all this enmity between our brothers and sisters and come to the Lord's Supper in peace. All these we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.